Welcome to episode 325 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. I gotta say, this is our last episode this year. We will be back. The next episode will come out on January 13th, 2022. In the meantime, we're going to visit Mercury.
Yes.
Mercury is closer to the sun than us.
By far.
Closer than all of the other planets.
Yes.
It's just snuggled up right in there.
If it was a trivia question, what's the first planet in the solar system?
Yeah, Mercury. Okay. Oh. And then you got Venus, and then you got us, and then you got everyone else.
Yeah, you screw the rest of them. Talking about Mercury.
It's also tiny.
Yes, yes.
Earth is 2.6 times wider than Mercury. But 2.5 times. Yeah. It's only 3,032 miles in diameter.
On a solar scale, that's like did somebody lose a pebble?
It is actually smaller than a couple of moons, like Titan around Saturn and Ganymede around Jupiter. It's 26% larger, Ganymede is, than Mercury, but it's only 45% of the mass.
Okay. Oh, well, did it used to be bigger and then got squished, or?
Which one?
Mercury.
We'll get to that. Okay. And the short answer is, I don't know. Its gravity, however, is 38% of Earth's, which is pretty good for its size.
Oh, okay.
Volume-wise, if you had an empty space the size of the Earth, you could fit more than 16 Mercuries in there.
Okay. Tiny, we're saying. Yes.
Now that we've beaten that point to death. Its average distance to the sun is about 36 million miles.
Okay.
3.7 light minutes. That's compared to 8 light minutes for the Earth.
Aha.
Aha. Comparison.
Yes. I was waiting for it.
The sun can appear more than 3 times the size from Mercury as it does from Earth.
Ooh, neat.
With a brightness that is 4 to 7 times brighter than here.
Okay.
There have only been 2 missions to it.
Well, I mean, I understand it's tiny.
Yes.
But
it's stupid hot.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood. And it's going really fast.
Okay. Too much bother.
It's 29 miles or 47 kilometers a second. Around 100,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
With only an 88 Earth day long year.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I want a new calendar. I'm going to make a Mercury-based calendar.
Mariner 10. The first one ever to go visit Mercury.
Yeah, okay.
The first mission ever to use another planet as a gravity assist its trajectory, which was Venus.
Mm-hmm.
The first probe ever to visit more than one planet. Not including Earth. You're not visiting. You came from there. It went from 1973 to 1974. It was also the first probe to send information on a comet. A long period comet. It takes a lot longer than Halley's Comet. Kohouta was its name.
75 years is a long time. Do you know how long?
They say long period, they mean more than 100 years.
Holy crap.
Yes. Yes.
You're really lucky if you see this one.
Unfortunately, its cameras were busted. I mean, well, they didn't bust. They got them working again later, but no pictures of Kohouta. However you say that comet.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it was actually plagued by technical issues. One of the mission heads said it was like you'd fix one problem just in time for the next one.
This constant battle to rubber band this thing back together.
My favorite one was the flaking paint. There was a fleck of paint shining in the sun, which fooled the navigational sensor into thinking that was the star it was supposed to be tracking for navigation.
Oh, no. Apparently, I need to turn around and go this way.
It didn't orbit Mercury. It was actually a little bit further out than Mercury.
Okay.
And passed it 3 times.
I don't get it.
Well, Mercury was further in.
Right.
Actually, I guess Mercury caught up to and passed the spacecraft three times if you want to get really picky about it. The closest it got was about 200 miles. But they also had to do these correction burns, and the last one was to avoid hitting Mercury. So,
well, they should have done it anyways. I mean, there's a grand tradition. We did it.
There is indeed. It's possible the thing is still out there, because they never did crash land it or anything like that. It just ran out of fuel and stopped talking to us.
When you said it passed Mercury, I'm like, isn't the next stop the sun? I see a problem.
Grand tradition of smashing it.
First to land on the sun.
Over 2,700 pictures.
Oh.
A lot of different features they found. Calaris Basin is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impact crater, about 1,550 miles across.
The pictures, I have a question about. Like, are these digital cameras at this point?
Oh, hell no.
How do you?
In fact, they lost some data when the tape recorder screwed up.
There's a tape recorder
involved? Yeah, there was apparently a tape recorder.
Wow.
Just a way of holding data and sending it later.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you plopped Calaris Basin down on the east coast of the United States.
Who's Calaris Basin?
It's the big impact crater.
Ah, okay.
That was 1,550 miles across.
Mm-hmm.
It would swallow up more than 70% of the east coast.
Wow. What do we need the east coast for anyway?
Well, we got to keep this basin somewhere. Mariner also discovered that Mercury has, well, it's not quite an atmosphere, but there's stuff hanging around.
Oh. I'm still confused about that close to the sun and solar winds.
Well, they think some of it might have actually come from solar winds.
Oh.
They got helium.
Oh.
Which is either from radioactive decay or particle impacts from the solar wind and cosmic rays.
Okay.
Those are the ways you'd get helium. There's also oxygen, which was weird.
No kidding.
Sodium, hydrogen, and potassium.
Potassium. For an atmosphere.
Yeah, well, again, the planet is outgassing slightly.
Okay.
It also has a magnetic field and a large iron-rich core.
Oh. Okay, you said there was two missions. If that's the wrong segue, forgive me.
Minus 179 Fahrenheit.
Whoa.
At night. Around 801 Fahrenheit during the daytime, which is, in fact, we checked, hot enough to melt lead.
Yeah, yeah.
The second mission that you were so eager
about. Are you leaving that in? I thought you just cut it out.
I might cut this out, too. I don't know how long this is going to go. From 2011 to 2015,
okay,
which was an extension. There's not much to say about the thing. The thing worked. It used a really complicated path to get there. I mean, Mariner 10 had one gravity assist.
Mm-hmm.
This thing visited Earth once, as in it had left and come back.
Oh, wow.
Venus twice, flew by Mercury twice, and on a third flyby, it achieved an orbit.
All right. Wow, go this thing.
Mm-hmm. And they expected it to end in 2012,
mm-hmm,
but it was still working.
Well, what do you do with it?
They extended the mission until 2013, and then it was still working. So they extended the mission until 2015,
okay,
at which point they deliberately crashed it into the planet.
Tired of this thing. Come on. We can do better.
They had a long, proud tradition. Huh?
We landed.
Its closest approach, not including when they crashed into it, was 120 miles.
Okay.
It was a lot closer than Mariner got.
Mm-hmm.
It found out that the iron core, solid inner core, mm-hmm, is about 55% of the total mass of the planet.
Holy crap.
Or excuse me, size, compared to 15% for the Earth. There are theories as to why this strange thing happened. One is a giant impact that tore off the outer layers of a larger planet.
Uh-huh.
Another is, hey, heavier stuff just should collect closer to the middle of the sun.
Mm.
Another is Mercury formed kind of inside of the sun while it was still young and hadn't quite settled down and a bit larger.
Oh, okay.
They've been sending missions trying to figure out which one is true, and we don't know yet.
Well, do we care?
Well, the next mission shows up. It's on its way. I forget the name of the probe. Oh, what a great host I am. But it will get there in 2025, assuming all goes well. Okay. Japan's.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've been doing bloomers. A lot, aren't right? they? Yeah, once they got on board the train. Messenger also discovered these parallel ridges.
Okay.
Which seem to be the result of the planet shrinking.
Like crushing itself.
Yeah, it's estimated to have lost 4 miles in diameter. I'm not sure over what period that happened. Mm. It was in the middle of the YouTube video. There were no links. And it's basically wrinkling up like a raisin.
Neat.
In November 2012, Messenger found in some craters that are permanently shadowed towards the north pole of Mercury, water ice.
What?
And organic compounds.
What?
Yup.
What is going on here?
Again, there's a number of theories of where this water comes from.
Right.
Maybe comet impacts, maybe sputtering when hydrogen reacts with oxygen and minerals on the surface.
Okay.
And the other theory I can't remember.
Yeah.
Those are my two examples.
There's bloody water everywhere. I don't know what's going on.
So Mercury spins funny.
Right.
But to really nail this down, we need to talk about, you know, tides and orbits.
Okay.
Which we did.
Ooh.
On Monday. How long is a day?
24 hours.
Yeah, for us.
Okay.
And then, what do you mean by a day?
A full revolution of the planet in, what's the word? Relative. To the sun.
To the sun. Mm. They call that a synodic day.
Oh.
Or a solar day.
Cool.
Meaning that the sun passes over exactly the same bit of longitude twice.
Nice.
Or it gets there the second time. Like noon. Noon's a good one. Sun is as high in the sky as it's going to get that day. And then the next time it gets that high, that day, and all the shadows are pointing exactly the same direction. Hey, a solar day.
Nice.
Then you have a sidereal day. Pick a favorite. What's your favorite star? Okay, Sirius it is.
Why not?
Or maybe Betelgeuse, or even Alpha Centauri is far enough away.
I remember liking Sirius for some... Seriously.
Yeah, seriously, it's the dog star.
Okay.
It's when that crosses the same longitude for sidereal day. Now, for the Earth, that's not a big deal, right? I think it's all of 30 seconds difference.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up. It gets complicated. I don't want to complicate this thing more than necessary, although that's really what we do here.
That's exactly what we do.
Okay. But, for example, Venus, turning very slowly in the opposite direction to almost everything else, has a solar day of 117 days, but a sidereal day of 243.
Oh. Bigger. Why? You said it wasn't complicated.
Well, okay, like, if you weren't actually rotating at all.
Right.
You'd still have a solar day equivalent to your year.
Okay.
Yeah, because from your perspective, the sun would inch around. Right. Or another way to put it is, like, when we finish a 24-hour period, we've also covered a little bit more than a degree of our orbit around the sun.
Okay.
So the angles change a bit.
Okay.
And that's why they draw the distinction. And for some of the planets, it makes a big difference.
Right.
Like Venus and Mercury's just weird. So let's talk about orbits.
Okay.
Say you've got a bucket, a small bucket, and we want to be able to do this experiment, half full of, I don't know, water.
Okay.
And you tie a rope to the end of the handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those handles that goes over the top. A side handle won't work at all.
Right.
And then you start swinging it around in circles.
Yeah.
If you get up to a high enough speed, and what kid hasn't?
Right.
You can have a level loop.
Right.
Without spilling a drop.
Weird.
You can even angle it so it's a vertical loop. And that bucket gets entirely upside down.
Heck yeah.
But not a drop is spilled.
Flipping magic.
It's centrifugal force,
mm-hmm.
counteracting gravity. That's kind of how an orbit works.
Yeah.
Your force from spinning, more angular momentum, if you want to get tactical about it,
okay.
Balances how hard Earth is trying to pull you back down.
Okay.
So now, from your perspective, there's no overwhelming pull in any direction, so you don't feel any gravity in particular.
Right.
For some reason, the higher you go up in orbit, the slower you have to go to balance it.
Oh, okay. No, that sort of makes sense.
Yes, well, the gravity is falling off.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather quickly, actually. Geostationary orbit, it's like 5 point something 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 times as far away as, from the middle of the Earth as we are when we're standing on the Earth.
Precision, another thing we do around here.
So the gravity, force of gravity at that altitude is less than a 30th than what it is on the surface.
Oh, okay.
Now let's talk about tides.
Okay.
Say you've got a moon.
Oh, thank goodness.
Which we do, a nice big fat moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is going the speed it needs to balance the centrifugal force against the Earth's gravity, actually, the combined gravity of the Earth and moon pulling on each other.
Oh, cool.
In fact, the tug of war ends up putting a place underneath the surface of the Earth that the Earth also wobbles around.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And that kind of wobble, when we see a star wobble like that, we know it's got planets.
Nice.
Even if we can't see the planets.
Mm-hmm.
But the moon is big.
Right.
So a rock closest to the Earth is actually going way too slow for that size and orbit.
Okay.
So it feels a slight pull towards the Earth.
Okay.
On the opposite side, that rock is going too fast for that size orbit.
Okay.
So it feels a pull in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, since we're both essentially swinging around the same jump rope, the Earth's wobble gives us the same kind of tidal forces.
Okay.
That's how we get tides with the oceans and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But those forces are working on everything. The atmosphere, our oceans, the rock, all of that gets flexed and pulled.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
It's actually a lot easier on the moon because long ago it decided I'm going to point this face towards the Earth.
I give up.
So it doesn't get that whole drag around lump thing.
Yeah, spinning is overrated.
That's all if it were perfect circles.
Okay.
And it's not, generally speaking.
No.
When you're orbiting the sun, they call your point of closest approach perihelion.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, the closer you are, the faster you're going.
Oh, cool.
Whereas when you're farther out, you're going slower.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Oh.
An extreme example of this would be Halley's Comet.
Yeah.
Which comes and visits us between 74 and 79 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every. I said that well.
I meant to throw every in there. Yeah. Okay.
The Earth is about 93 million miles away from the sun.
Okay.
Let's call that an astronomical unit, or AU.
That's what we do.
Because this is easier to picture instead of so many millions of whatevers.
Okay.
Halley's Comet, when it's closest to the sun, is at 0.6 AUs.
Ooh.
A little more than half the distance from the Earth to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's between Mercury and Venus at that point.
Oh. Okay.
And then when it's as far away as it gets, it's around the orbit of Pluto.
Okay.
Yes, it's still a planet in my book.
Heck yeah.
35 times farther away from the sun than we are.
Oh.
When it is as far from the sun as it gets,
mm-hmm.
its orbital speed is about 1 kilometer a second.
Oh, okay.
Actually, a little bit less than that.
Hmm.
When it's as close as it gets, 55 kilometers a second.
Oh.
So it goes from about 2,200 miles per hour to over 123,000 miles an hour.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's everything we need. It's going to get weirder. So tides.
Right.
Our moon is tidally locked, they call it. One side pointing towards the Earth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The planet Mercury.
Right.
It's also affected by very strong tidal forces, up to 17 times as much as the moon and Earth get.
Neat.
But it doesn't have a moon.
Ah.
One of only two planets to have no moon.
Well, you could say the sun is its moon. A Mercury-centric universe.
There's one for the Greeks. But yeah, pretty much, the sun is causing those tides.
Mm.
Much closer to it, after all.
Yeah.
It also has an eccentric orbit.
Okay.
Which means that the difference between its closest approach and farthest approach is large.
Okay.
Its closest approach is 2/3 that of its farthest away-ness. Oh, that's sciencey. Ness.
Ness. 2/3.
Which means it's going much further during part of its year than another.
Okay.
And it's not tidally locked. It's in an orbital resonance. When it spins around in relation to the stars, that takes about 59 days.
Wow. Okay.
Earth days.
Mm-hmm.
Its solar day.
Okay.
176 Earth days.
Wow.
And as a consequence of going fast, when it gets close to the sun, occasionally in the sky of Mercury, the sun goes the wrong direction.
You're kidding me.
There are places you can stand on Mercury. Well, there don't are do places that. Don't you can stand. Don't try this at home. Unless you don't live on Mercury, I suppose that's not a big issue.
Right.
There are places you can stand on Mercury and watch the sun ever so slowly peak above the horizon, about two-thirds of its disk. You don't get the whole thing.
Okay.
And then it goes back down.
I give up.
And then it comes back up.
Peek-a-boo. That's cute.
There are actually two places on the equator of Mercury where the sun is hanging overhead, headed towards the west, pause, head towards the east, pause, head towards the west. It's just basically hanging there over that spot on Mercury for 16 Earth days.
Jeez.
Which makes that spot and its corresponding spot on the opposite side the hottest spots on Mercury.
Neat.
I need a segue out of the show, Phil.
What are we talking about next as far as your show goes?
Oh, we're going to Mars.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that
yeah.
next time. See you then.
Bye.
Happy holidays.